Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. This is Dave Charest, Content Manager here at Constant Contact. And this week, we're going to be talking about the new and wonderful world of search. So this week, we've been talking a lot about search and specifically developments with Google regarding AuthorRank, which is a new algorithm that takes the authority of the author into account when serving up search results. And not to be outdone, Facebook actually managed to newsjack the conversation, as usual, with the announcement of Graph Search, which is an enhancement to the current search bar on Facebook, and that allows you to find more granular information based on your connections and activity within Facebook. So, in addition to our regular band of misfits this week, we have a special guest joining us today, Constant Contact Search Marketing Manager, Peter Hughes. Welcome, Peter. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yay! And I guess we'll have the, in usual fashion, we'll have the rest of the crew introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Azure Collier, education, social media education developer, and I'm drinking Yellowtail tree-free Chardonnay this week.
Very classy.
Are you using wine?
No pork.
Very classy.
No pork.
She's got a whole bottle, folks.
It's portable.
Is that straw?
I was going to say, is that a straw?
Hi, I'm Kristen Curtis. I'm a social media specialist, and I am drinking a UFO white.
Excellent. I am Josh Mendelson. I work in marketing for Single Platform, and I'm drinking Vermont's own Long Trail Blackberry Wheat. That's Blackberry Wheat, not berry.
Oh, no wonder it doesn't taste like berry. It tasted like bear instead.
I'm Danielle Cormier, and I'm a social media specialist, and I am drinking a UFO white as well.
Mm. Erica Ayotte, social media manager, and I'm drinking a Blackberry Wheat 2.
Excellent. So,
it's a sequel.
I'm taking a Harpoon Celtic Red. So let's get started with Google AuthorRank, shall we? Peter. So what the heck is Google AuthorRank?
Wait, before you do that, what the heck are you drinking?
Oh, yeah, what the heck are you drinking? The important info first.
I'm drinking Blackberry Wheat as well, and I concede I didn't know the pun. I didn't see it. It's Blackberry. I get it now. Thanks.
And so Google AuthorRank.
So Google AuthorRank is a subtle but potentially huge shift in the way Google presents its rankings. So historically, Google has always sought to rank content on based on the links that a piece of content, a domain generates. Whereas now, it's not necessarily effacing that, but it's going to, as part of the algorithm, going to bring in the authority of the content writers themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a subtle change because, as I say, it's always been missing for content writers, right? It's always been about what you post rather than who posts it. And clearly there are going to be chasms in terms of domain expertise. And what this is trying to do is bring to the fore authorized content writers and give them a foothold in the rankings in a way they've never had before. Mm-hmm.
So guys, how do we see this kind of, you know, impact, or what kind of impact is this going to have?
So from my standpoint, it has the potential to level the playing field to some degree, right? So no longer is it going to be just about how old your domain is, how many links it's picked up over the course of time. That system's frankly broken. People mm-hmm. can game it, people can goose it. Now it's going to be about, it's going to have as part of it the degree to which you contribute, you develop content, social sharing, engagement, commenting on blogs. It's going to be about kind of key actionable metrics rather than simply how many links your post has generated, which is, frankly, a bit broken.
So it's taking all this social signals into account.
Precisely.
One thing, the way that I look at this is that it's really putting the content creators at the center of the algorithm or the rankings. And the way that I was thinking about this is, what does this mean for brands? Because mm-hmm. before it seemed that content was more tightly tied to a brand.
Yep.
And now it's going to be more tightly tied to the creator. So in essence, we're putting individuals almost ahead of brands. And what does that mean for content creators in companies, and is that a danger for brands?
And I think it sort of harkens back to what we saw with Forrester Research a couple years ago, or not even a couple years ago, where they were having this challenge with Twitter, where people were using the Forrester name to build up huge Twitter followings, and then they were leaving. And they weren't the only ones that went through this, and there were even lawsuits about who owns those Twitter followers. Mm. I think this is sort of a similar but different situation where, you know, for content creators, it's great to build a personal brand, and that benefits the company you're at. But what happens when you leave? What happens when you go off and do something else?
Yeah, but I mean, that's an interesting question. What does happen? I mean, what do you think should happen?
Well, I think brands have to be really, they should diversify their stable of stars, whoever. I mean, there's a tendency to put the official thought leaders, capital T, capital L, out in the market and just kind of slap, you know, and anyone can write a post and then just slap a C-level's name on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that can be the case anymore.
No.
Brands, in order to protect themselves, you know, whether brands want this to happen or not, you know, the individuals are going to be more prominently placed. So the best thing that brands can do is really diversify who they have in the marketplace and make sure those people actually know what they're talking about, because if they don't, now it's going to be super obvious who's just a talking head and who's a real expert.
Yeah, and I think the key to this is links aren't going away, right?
Right.
So the fact is that your post will generate any number of links. That's still going to be arguably the biggest part of the algorithm, right? But just as part of the algorithm now, content creators can essentially develop their own brand with a little bit more certainty, as long as you're verified, right? And moreover, to your point, Erica, it actually puts a face to the name of the content creator as well. Whereas beforehand, it's just been byline by whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the search engine results page, verified authors, should they rank, will have a headshot, a byline, and you'll be able to gain access to their library of content. So suddenly it starts to broaden the horizon of that writer's content, much more so than before. Whereas before it's just, as I say, a flat post. Okay, so on the blog itself, I'll find the rest of that person's content.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more easily retrievable from the search engine results page now.
It'll be interesting to see, too, if, you know, I know one of the things that anyone who's worked in an organization where you're trying to get a lot of different people to write, and it's not top of mind, and it's really, you're pulling people to do it, you know, I think there's benefit for driven individuals to contribute more to their company blog, you know, or their personal blog, whatever it is, or both. But I think there's more of a carrot for creating great content as an individual, even if it's not your primary job.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I think therein lies the big piece now, right? So you talk about great content is such a... It's a difficult thing to quantify or to qualify, in essence, right? Whereas great content now, judged by a search engine, will be, moving forward, the likelihood of social sharing, the likelihood of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I think my big takeaway from this is that this is a change that really requires people and content creators to focus on readership rather than just write a post, hope for links, right? So that one post might generate a ton of links, but really what you want is the same person coming back to your blog time after time after time, reading all the pieces that you've written, sharing all of those pieces that you've written, commenting on all of those pieces that you've written, sustained readership, sustained engagement. That's what's going to separate out the wheat from the chaff here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It puts a lot of importance on blogs, too, because a lot of companies, you know, sometimes the marketing department doesn't get all the resources.
Right.
And now this is a good way to get more of those resources.
Yeah.
You know, Peter, you mentioned something about the idea of leveling the playing field, right? And I wonder to what extent, because, you know, I think that's something that we kind of like to throw around and, like, something we think that's, like, a great thing to, like, yes, we're leveling the playing field. But then it always turns up the big guys end up finding a way to kind of game that, like, you know, and kind of take over it again. But I think there's something here in terms of, you know, we say it levels the playing field, but what about the folks that have already been doing this, right? The folks that have been blogging, aren't they automatically going to rise to the top? Like, so, I mean, it's like...
That's the thought. I mean, so verify your authorship status and your whole
library. We should talk
about
how you do that.
Yeah,
we'll get into that.
But verify your authorship status and your whole library of content becomes verified.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key piece in this. It's not moving forward. It's the entire piece. And what's interesting is you talk about leveling the playing field. I read a statistic earlier this week that I think only 4 or 5 Fortune 500 companies have actually got verified authors on their blog, right?
Mm-hmm.
On their blogs. So that's to say they're not playing in this space right now. They may eventually, but the point is that it's an easy win now for people, for content creators who can be a little bit more nimble and get ahead of the curve in essence.
So let's talk about that a little bit then. So this is Google authorship, which is, I guess, really the first step in setting yourself up to be part of this Google author rank when that algorithm starts to take place. So Google authorship is basically, what are we doing? We're connecting...
Yeah, it's a simple thing. So you go to the URL plus.google.com/authorship.
Mm-hmm.
You submit your email address, your domain email address, so that is your work email address or whatever it might be. Google Plus will then email you back. You click on a link, you verify your email to essentially identify you are who you say you are.
Yep.
That done, you become a verified author. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point on, you're in the pool to be one of these kind of rankings on a particular topic that has the byline, that has the headshot, that has the rich, essentially the rich markups on the search engine results page.
I actually have a question for you, and I'm sure other people will have questions as well. What happens if you change your name or something?
It's tied to your Google profile, so it doesn't matter. As long as your email remains verified, and that's the beauty of this.
So if your email's different, though, like, for instance, I got married, so I changed my email from my old to my new. So it's a different Gmail account.
So if it's a different Gmail account, if it's not a different Gmail account,
it is
a different Gmail account. So you can still merge.
Okay.
But the key piece is you can also indicate that you're a contributor to blogs as well. So I, I've contributed to friends' blogs. I wouldn't be registered as a domain
mm-hmm.
under that, but I can register that I'm a contributor to that blog. They can verify that. Essentially, I'll get the juice, the credit for that along the way. But it's tied to your Google profile.
So the other thing I think is really interesting about this from a Google perspective is no one's been more outspoken in their feelings about Google Plus than I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is really smart.
And those feelings were?
Not positive. But I think what they've really done over the past, you know, 6 to 12 months is, there's all this buzz because everyone wanted to kill Facebook, and it was sort of, they've actually done a nice job of adding more and more value to you as a user,
mm-hmm.
of being part of the Google Plus community.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another step in that direction where your Google profile becomes really important to you.
Precisely.
Whereas before, Google Plus unto itself, whatever. But your Google profile is becoming more important than ever to your online profile.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because what Google Plus and the whole ecosystem is doing that's different than every other social network is that it's using a social network to tie back to your own domains.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tying back to your blog and your website and, any of the contact list that you may own. When we've talked about this before, when you are playing on some of these other social networks, it's important to be out there. It's powerful to create that hook back to your content. It's not necessarily tied to the domains that you own. And this is doing that direct tying in, which I think that is extremely important. And I'd be curious to see what happens with Google Plus and, what type of, if it's taking into account social signals. I mean, one's going to love Google Plus more than Google.
Precisely.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're actually expanding. I just read today that they now have 43 new countries who have their iOS app. So Google Plus is becoming even bigger.
I think the really great thing about all this, too, I mean, regardless of where it is, Google Plus, just wherever it's kind of happening, is that it really kind of pinpoints how important content is to
mm-hmm.
how we use the Internet.
And moreover, fresh content that's engaging as well, right?
Engaging
and engaged with. So you can game the link system. The link system is, to a large degree, broken, hence why Google has ritually had to pull massive updates to its algorithm. Panda, Penguin, they routinely
Puma,
do it.
Puma, platypus.
Precisely. any P you want, right? So this provides a lot more transparency as well.
Yeah.
I said before that it provides a face to the name. How many spammers actually link their Google Plus profile?
That's
zero,
true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many, and that's the nature of the broken system of the link world,
mm-hmm.
is that these low-quality sites are essentially junk sites, link farms, whatever they may be. It's starting to eliminate that. And again, I can't reiterate enough, this represents right now
mm-hmm.
a small portion. My sense is it will grow, though, and it will become increasingly important
mm-hmm.
for content creators alike. So.
So if you're blogging or doing stuff for your business, the most important thing you can do is really get your Google authorship set up. Don't worry if you don't really understand how to do that. We have instructions on the blog, and we walk you through how to set that up for yourself. So we'll be sure to include a link in the post when we put this out. So let's move on to Google Graph Search, because as we mentioned, I keep doing that because I've been talking about Google all week, and then yes, leave it to Facebook to not have a day where they're not in the news. So Facebook announced the release of, or which is currently in beta, which I got today, by the way.
Woohoo!
Envy me!
You're so cool,
yes, that's
Dave.
Right. But Facebook's Graph Search. So what is that? Danielle, maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
So Facebook Graph Search is a search engine based on your friends' activities and recommendations on Facebook. So it's going to give you results of things that your actual friends like or where they've checked in or things that they're interested in. So it's supposed to be a more personal way of giving you results of things that you should be checking out on Facebook instead of just depending on the SEO value of websites or restaurants or businesses around you. It's what your friends actually care about, according to Facebook.
So it's interesting, yeah. It's interesting that, you know, the Google aspect obviously revolves around search as a whole throughout the web, whereas Facebook's is really right within Facebook. So, I mean, how do we think this is going to kind of impact the way people do things, or if it is at all, actually?
I think that if they could actually get it to work, it would be really great. But so many people are on Facebook doing tons of things that for Facebook to be able to index all of these items every day and actually provide a relevant, accurate result will be a very difficult task for them.
Not in the same degree, but it's kind of like what, and you can tell me I'm wrong, Peter, what Google was doing with Twitter back when the two integrated.
That's
a very high-pitched yes. I'm sorry.
Wow.
No offense.
Em's fighting words.
And now I've lost words. Oh, so basically it's just like
Google, Twitter.
Google, Twitter, Facebook. essentially it puts search results within the context of your social graph.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
No, you're fine.
Google is trying to move towards a more social search result. Facebook is trying to move towards harnessing their social search results. So it's kind of, they're trying to move close, to some degree, closer together. Because the search, you're logged into your Google profile, for example, it's going to provide a lot of socially laced kind of recommendations. The results would be different based on, you know, my profile, my login versus yours. It's interesting that Facebook's trying to kind of merge all of its data.
Yeah, so I think you know, Facebook really kind of has a leg up there, just because if you're looking at the way search happens, right? Like, the Google Search Plus Your World that they put out, right, is like, sure, I get it, but like, it doesn't really show you what's pertinent to me. It just shows you things that I've shared, like, or somebody's shared on your network, and not necessarily what I'm really connected to. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So Facebook can get it right.
And I think there's the thing, right?
Yeah.
The big piece that Facebook is missing, Danielle made this point, right, there is this algorithm, in essence, this real-time indexing algorithm that Google has perfected over the course of search time. I don't think that Facebook has that yet, right? And so with that, can you nail it, or are you just kind of spitting out what is ultimately dated content to some degree? And I mean dated in the sense of it's 15 minutes old, whereas I want something that's 3 minutes old in a Facebook world, right? The Facebook world changes a lot more quickly, I feel.
I think the biggest hurdle, too, is that you are sitting there actually relying on what other people do and that they're speaking about how much they like something and they're checking in and they're doing all these things where not everybody does that.
Right.
I mean, I know I personally, I check into Foursquare, I don't check into Facebook. So
do you send it to Facebook, though?
No.
Okay.
Most of the time I don't, unless I'm taking a picture. And so, you know, things like that, if you're doing it on other networks, then you're never actually going to be considered in this search.
Yeah. So I think that's the huge hurdle with Facebook. I mean, because I think it's a great idea, and if they can nail it, I think it's got huge potential. But the big thing is there's a huge amount of behavior, I think, that they need to change on people's behalf.
Precisely.
Right?
You're working with a great unknown, and that is the people who are actually making this network what it is.
Because they say there are a lot of searches that go on Facebook, but I mean, if you think about it, if you're going to search on Facebook, you're looking specifically for a page or a person. You're not actually using it to search for something.
You get annoyed when only web results come up.
Right.
Exactly.
I do the same for Twitter. I actually use Google to search for these things.
Yeah.
For a Facebook page or for a
Twitter
profile. The search functionality is always sucked wind in both of them.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting.
I think it's going to come down to either Google Plus is going to get people to jump on board or Facebook's going to figure this out for
you think
everyone.
Someone's going to win.
Yeah, that's
death
like
match.
The race.
I don't know. I think we're still in a situation where we're going to have to do both. If you're a business and you're going to be online and you want to get found online, you're going to have to be in both places. If you're creating content, you have to do the Google Plus thing. You have to have a Facebook page. You have to encourage people to interact with your business online if you're on Facebook. And then we'll see which side ends up winning. But from the business standpoint, you don't have a choice. You have to do both, I think, right?
You don't know where it's going to shake out.
Exactly, yeah. And I think there's a huge advantage now to kind of get in on the ground floor and just be there so that whichever one does take off is the one that is, like, you're kind of getting benefit from that. So, I mean, I guess, you know, when we think about what small businesses can do today, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer to say that, look,
if you
don't have a Facebook page, and we've talked a lot about Facebook and having Facebook pages, and if you still don't have one, well, you're kind of, this is the end of it. Like, you need to get one. Like, it's time.
Those likes are a lot more valuable now with this, definitely.
And what else do we have? Like, what else should small businesses be thinking about?
I think, you know, along those lines, like, having a page, so I don't think having a page is just about creating engagement on Facebook. I think if people really begin to use it as more of a search engine, mm-hmm. you just need your basic information up there, at least. You need your location, your hours, what you sell, when you're open, you know, how to find you. Like, all that stuff needs to be on Facebook, even if you're not engaging as a page.
Yeah, the basics. You should actually be a page and not a profile, and make sure you have the right category. You can choose if you're a restaurant or a retail store mm-hmm. or a nonprofit, and that stuff's going to matter when it comes down to this search, for when people are looking for restaurants or if they're looking for repair shops or whatever your business may be.
You know, that's one of the key areas that where I see that it could be definitely, because like that's something I would, like, was I was testing it today. I was like, okay, you know, restaurants in where I live that my friends like, to find places that I might not know about. Like, you know what I mean? And those mm-hmm. search results come up, like, okay, all right. I also think it's going to make the way we interact with the brands and things that we do like, we have to kind of, the onus is on us to kind of take it a little bit more seriously. Mm-hmm. Because if people are going to be using mm-hmm. that to kind of, as an indicator of search results,
right.
then
it becomes more
you're
of a recommendation
wanna,
engine whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and you
right.
want to like the thing, like, it's, a like is going to be, have more consequence than it would typically.
It's going to be literally like at
yeah,
this point.
As opposed
yeah.
to just like, okay, I'll like this page.
Right.
It's like, you know, I really have to like this in order to like it.
And I wonder, you know, and I wonder if, you know, to Kristen's point before, you know, does that start to change behavior? You know, like I also, when I check in, I generally check in on Foursquare mm-hmm. and I might connect it to Facebook or not. But there's no good, other than the stupid badges that I like for no apparent reason.
I'm with
like,
you.
Like, if there was value in checking in on Facebook instead of checking in on Foursquare, mm-hmm. maybe I'd do that. I don't think I'm necessarily wed to Foursquare or wed to Instagram.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think Facebook is still trying to win the battle to be everyone's homepage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a step in that direction.
And didn't they used to offer deals for check-ins, too, and then that went away? So there,
that did go away.
There's
too bad
no
that went away,
incentive for you to do that.
I find myself using Facebook more to check in. I don't use Foursquare for check-ins anymore. I use
me
it
either.
To find stuff now, because I think that's where it's moved.
Yeah,
it's,
they've become a great discovery.
Yeah, and I think that's
if
really
you stop
great.
If checking in, then you stop as an individual contributing to the whole system that makes
right.
it valuable.
Stop making me feel bad. Damn it.
I'm
eating cake.
And I find that you find as many tips on Facebook as you do on Foursquare.
It's
which
true.
Is why I like Foursquare.
But you
can see how that behavior may change if people are beginning to look up this stuff in the search
yeah.
and then want to find this information.
So it'll definitely be interesting to see how they start to expand, Facebook
right.
that is, how they start to really expand what you can and cannot do in terms of that type of stuff and how you interact with folks.
And I think where Facebook has fallen down a little bit over, you know, with all these different experiments is they probably haven't invested as much as they should in driving user behavior to do a certain thing. You know, they sort of put it out there and seen what happens, but I think, you know, if they continue to go down this road, they need to really make a concerted effort to get their users to use the functionality that they've built.
And not only that, not only are they relying on behavior changing, they're relying on, they're betting on privacy becoming less and less important to users as well, just because the expectation there is that everyone is going to share all of this stuff and that, you know, the privacy sticklers are kind of going to go away. One other point that we haven't talked about, and one of the reasons why I still use Foursquare to check in and discover and do local search, is because Facebook kind of sucks mobily.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say that.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work
in
mobile too. Yeah.
Press conference this week. Mobile is nowhere near in the future.
And that's where Facebook
keeps
falling down, and that will hinder them more than anything.
I have to imagine. Yeah, I have to imagine that they're on it, like, because it's taken a long time, but they start making these little improvements. And I mean, I guess that's their thought process behind these kind of extraneous apps that they create, like the Messenger app and the Poke app and like all those things. Those are kind
they
of
have
like
a giant platform. It takes forever to build.
But these are their testing platforms
right.
for what they're going to implement into the main mobile platform. You know what I mean? So they kind of see who those early adopters are and what they do and what they take to. They have to get mobile right. There's no question about that, because that's really where all of this has ended up going. And I mean, I know how many times do I check Facebook on my phone compared to on my desktop, you know what I mean? And the only times I go to my desktop is because I can't do the flipping thing I want to do
yeah.
on my mobile device.
The fact
like, you know
that I
what
can't
mean?
See
so,
how many shares is just insane to me.
Because
your
you're all
device.
About the vanity stats?
Because I'm
yes.
all about reach, actually.
Oh.
And I'm all
yeah.
about engagement. engagement. So the reason that the fact that I can't see that mobily, I mean, it's, you know, it's the little things that they just haven't done yet. And the fact of the matter is when if they actually implemented this in right now, when you would go on Facebook, you'd have a couple steps to actually get to their graph search.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, people are pretty lazy. They want one step and that's it. And I think that honestly, people would stick to what they're used to with the one step search than to kind of try and go through and find it until they figure out how to do it.
Yeah. Well, very interesting stuff in the world of search today. Thanks everyone for listening, and thanks everyone here for kind of contributing their ideas. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback, so be sure to leave a comment. And now that you can subscribe to the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable on iTunes, please make sure you do that. There'll be a link just below the player in the blog post here today. And, you know, we're also going to be moving the published date of these podcasts to Monday afternoon, so we can get these discussions that we have on Fridays to you a little sooner rather than waiting the following week. So thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time, and bye-bye now.